could you guys have beaten Scottie Scheffler if you guys started? Well, LJ, I think the answer to you is yes. And I said yes. On the green.
Putting. But putting. You're the farthest away from the
farthest
cup.
From the cup. And you get to start there. And you're taking on Scheff this weekend. Mark, are you beating
Sunday
him?
Or Saturday?
Every day.
Every day. That's for the four days.
Oh, for the four rounds?
Yep.
Oh, is he at 11?
Yeah. You're shooting 11 under.
Are you putting 11 under?
So you have 72. Just
starting on the fringe.
Same. Like, yep. They're not par twos. They're par whatever.
That's legit. That's a par five on a par five.
So you get six. But
there's some holes that are 150 15. Feet.
Yes, we're beating that, aren't we?
You would have to.
Yourself. Yourself. Yep. Are we recording, by the way?
Yeah, we're recording. Oh, okay.
Because this is gold.
Jerry.
It's gold, I'm going to say one of us at this table might do it.
Really?
The rest just of us, the rest of us, we are grinding down the stretch.
That's what I said. I
to
said
shoot how many under?
11 under.
From the fringes.
Yes. You have to make it 11 birdies in 72
There's
holes.
Professionals, like really good players on edge, like they are used to that speed or they're acclimating to it, that are four putting.
That's what I said. I'm like, there's holes.
So Nick, you're agreeing with me?
Yes. I'm like, there's par threes out there that I'm 4 or 5 putting. I'm making a double. On the green by myself.
I mean,
that's like a good point too.
Hitting a shot.
I was thinking like, okay, I can 2-putt a par five, you know, miraculously 2-putt a par five.
Maybe. But
then at the same time, it's like threes. On a par three, yeah, you make a 3-putts a par. Anything worse than that, you're losing strokes to Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah. Well, think it's 16 green, the back left pin.
I know. Yeah.
And they put you on the very front right.
Front right.
Oh, God. I don't know if I'm keeping it on the green.
So what happens when you hit it off the green?
That's what I was going to say, too. Is it a stroke penalty if you're off the green?
No, you just play it where it is, boys.
Put it back on.
Hopefully, you can still use a putter. Yeah. It doesn't roll into a bunker or something. Oh, I mean, Tiger's putted it into the creek on 13. Now, that was from the back to the front.
Jordan Spieth did that. Well, his was a chip, but...
I don't think I can do it.
I agree with you, Nick. I think if we're just plopped out there, like no practice putts, nothing, or can we practice putt on the... putting green,
the members green.
Yeah,
maybe they give you an hour to go putt.
What if you got a practice round? Okay. What if you got a practice round? Like you get to go putt.
Well, now we're just getting crazy here.
Yeah.
Okay. No practice round.
Nope.
Putting green, you get to go out there and hit some putts like you know what you're doing.
I want an Augusta National caddy like Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah, if you're a caddy, that'd be different.
Ooh, okay, that's true too.
Give me the reeds on the green.
Suppose if they have a caddy.
Well, with the caddy, you're for sure gonna do that. Yeah. Lucas, you'll pass.
Yeah, you just tell me where to hit it. I'll hit it there.
Yeah. I think the whole thing changes.
Wow. 11 under, though. I think you're going to have some knee knockers come Sunday, and you're going to be gone.
Yeah, but you underestimate the power of lab putters. Okay. You just point like it, and it goes in the hole.
No, I'd like to think, I'm a decent putter. But I think under those current situations, our tournament situation, I don't think I could match what he
Mark, here's my question to you, though. Which putter grip are you using? You're notorious for changing your putter grip every single hole. So.
No, I found it now, crosshand, towards the end of last year. I just went, first time in my life, I switched crosshand mid-round and stuck with it. I'd never done it before.
Been with it since?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay.
This beforehand, though, he'd go conventional, then he'd go pencil, then he'd go, I don't know. What
conventional or pencil.
Yeah.
The last wrinkle to this, though, is it's legit with the crowds watching. This isn't you just out there.
Yeah.
This is
no chance.
Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
And they're going to be booing you, LJ, when you boo one off the green.
You can't boo at Augusta.
Didn't Zach Johnson basically get yelled at out
there? He didn't get booed. They were clapping after his triple bogey.
Oh, that's going to happen when you four putt from 3 feet.
So you just tip the waste management
out there and 5 putt.
You just tip the cap. That's all. That's a good,
that's a good question. I don't think I could do it.
I couldn't do it.
I don't know. I'd maybe learn the greens by Saturday, Sunday a little bit. If I like to think I'd learn the green, but it wouldn't.
Yeah,
I'd be so by Thursday, Friday.
No,
I've missed the cut.
That would be hilarious.
It's not a matter of competing with Scotty. It's a matter of making the cut in the first 2 days.
It would be hilarious. You're just that guy. All you got is a putter and a ball. Yep. Well, I'd have an extra ball.
Two balls, just in case.
And then the other guys.
Don't forget a ball mark too.
That's true.
Oh, you need a ball.
The other guys are hitting, up the fairway or whatever, and you're just walking along. Then you can just set yours down right at the front edge, and you walk away with the worse score than those guys.
Exactly.
Yeah, I
put me down for a 6.
Oh, that's funny. That's a good thought-provoking question.
Okay,
open it up to everybody. See what they think. But Well, we better get it kicked off after that whole discussion. Welcome back to another round at Sweet Shots. We got everybody back in the booth. Lucas Johnson, Nick Johnson, Chuck Johnson, Mark Johnson. We're back again, wrapping up Masters Week. What a week it was. I mean, just great. I don't know that we did it justice hyping up exactly. It just seems like every year the Masters delivers. Year after year after year. It doesn't matter. I think someone said it, that history is written every year at the Masters. Like, doesn't matter what happens. But long story short, Scottie Scheffler, the pre-tournament favorite, kind of walks away with it. What was it, like four shots?
Yeah,
four.
Yeah,
four.
Yeah, four. Yep, shot. Four shot. Yeah, 11-under to 7-under.
But I don't know what it would kind of get right into it, break it down. But did you guys find watching Scottie Scheffler on Sunday boring? Watching that round boring?
Yeah, other than the first couple holes where his distance was off with his irons.
Yeah.
Where he had to scramble.
So, yeah, hole two, he was...
Yep.
Way over the green.
I think one and two he was off. But yeah, was, and then it was, I'm with you, LJ. It was just kind of
easy.
Yeah.
Laid back. He yeah. I think one of our bartenders and I were watching Sunday, and he was said the same thing. He's like, it doesn't draw me to the TV. Like, his how good he is, it still bores me.
Well, but
he's just.
Boring golf's so good golf.
It is. Yeah. You know. No, I know. Good. So, yeah. But you have to look at when things happened in that tournament. And it was similar to Tiger's win in 19. So they get to Amen Corner, 11, 12, yeah. 13, right? So all of a sudden, Åberg knocks it in the water.
Yep.
Okay. And then Homa hits it over the green on 12, makes double.
Yep.
So right. Now you got guys making mistakes around them.
That's
about
when
the time.
To...
Yep. About the time that you would need to maybe on 13 take a chance. He didn't have to take a chance after that. He didn't have to do anything spectacular. He still hit great shots, but it lacked the drama, and you know that new tee on 13, it's reduced the number of times guys are going for it on 13, the par five, and how close they get it. It'd been fun to maybe see them give the guys a chance on 13,
yep. Right?
More often. 15 wasn't played. You didn't see the eagles like we've seen in the past.
There weren't many roars. Didn't have a whole lot of roars coming through.
Yep.
But other than Åberg's mistake on 11, he played really good golf.
Yeah, yep.
I mean, if anybody was going to give Scotty a run on Sunday, it would have been, I think, Åberg. And then, like we were talking about, Mark, when we watched it was like, that is the one thing that you cannot do is hit that ball in the water on 11.
Yeah.
And you're talking, that's a rookie mistake, right? That's a veteran doesn't make that move. They're going to, I think I saw the quote, Ben Hogan says, if I hit the green on 11, you know I hit a bad shot.
It was a mistake.
It was a mistake.
Yep. You lay that out to the right. Now, the wind was blowing right to left, but still, you have to account for that.
Mm-hmm.
But he played great golf. Look for that guy to be
20
in contention
5 years old.
That was 24. His first time out there, wasn't it?
That is. He's a Masters rookie. I saw a stat.
First major.
Yes, first major. I saw a stat. Ludwig did not have an official three putt at the Masters.
Right?
He's the first person to do that in his Masters debut since like 2016.
Wow. That's impressive.
If he can do it, I can do it.
Huh? Yeah, right. We were just talking about that. Like Masters debut, you know.
Remind me,
three putts.
Who was in the final pairing with Scheff again that fell apart?
It would have been. I wanted to go to Shoffley because he's always in the final pairing, falls apart, but it's not. It was.
Who the heck was it?
Oh.
Was it Morikawa?
Yes, it was.
Yes, Colin. Yeah, he made some mistakes too, Mark, on like 8, 9, 10.
That's right.
Where he's all of a sudden just went the wrong way.
Well,
yeah, 10. Didn't he double 10 or something? No,
I want to say
double
9.
You listen to his interview after the third round? You know, because he's gone kind of a little here and there on his golf swing the last year. He used the term, I hope, you know, the swing holds up tomorrow, instead of like confidently saying it will. He's like, I've been working on things and so far so good. I hope it'll, you know, and it was like, no, you cannot have doubt on that golf course.
Especially that course.
On a Sunday.
Yeah. And I will say it was nice to see Colin in a final group again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he came out firing. He's got two majors under his belt already, and at like the age of 22 or something like that. Like, he was young, still is.
Yep. He's 26 now.
Yeah, and so it was nice to have him back on the deal. It was funny to watch. I mean, you look at a lot of, I saw a lot of Ryder Cup comparisons because you look at the captain's picks and the ways that the Americans finished there. And the quotes were something like, I can't believe we lost the Ryder Cup. And then it showed Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, oh, all those guys just blow up. You know,
Lucas Glover played well.
Yeah, he did.
At Augusta.
Yes.
Yep. How about Lassabal and Vijay Singh also made the cut?
You know, yeah. Vijay yeah.
65?
Yeah.
Vijay's playing in Hoka tennis shoes out at Augusta National.
You know, a guy like Ola Thabel. So we were watching Friday night at the Terrace, and a friend of ours, Greg Bird, asked, so a guy like that, why is he playing? I said, well, he's a past champion. And, you know, is he just playing because he gets to? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, if he plays really well, maybe he has a chance of making the cut. And we didn't realize that he was inside that cut number, went to plus six.
Thanks, right. Justin Thomas.
Yeah, that was an epic failure on his finish. But that's impressive. Yeah. Did you guys catch the Jim Nance interview with Jose Maria prior to the telecast?
I heard about it. Mm-hmm. I never watched it. I never caught it.
Jim Nance finished it, and I recorded it and watched it. Jim said, this is one of the finest interviews I've done with a golfer in all my interviews.
And really?
It was really good.
To watch it.
Ola Thabo was never one of the guys I liked because it was Ryder Cup.
Right.
Kind of took over after Seve. And but anyways, he was very personable. His story is amazing because he, for a period of time, couldn't even walk, let alone play golf.
Oh, that's right.
So after he won his major, he won the Masters and then blah, blah. You'll have to watch it. It's pretty cool.
I'll go watch that. But we touched on it and we said, thanks, Justin Thomas. For those that don't know, Justin Thomas had one of the career blowups in his career, in any career. Yeah. Standing on 15T on Friday night, he had a 99% chance of making the cut. I'm not even making that up. That is data golf.
He was even par.
He was even par.
The whole tournament.
And it was 99% of making the cut. And then proceeds to go double bogey, double bogey, bogey, double bogey. Oh, misses the cut by one and moves the cut line to six over par.
Oh, my goodness.
That's
what?
He's of that caliber. Yeah. He's going to disappear for a while.
At what point was he like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to miss the cut? You think when he's standing on tee box 18, he's like, I got to.
Yeah, he probably tries to force a little bit. And wow. I don't even know where it is. Did he go right on 18? I didn't even look.
I didn't see, but yeah, I mean, his caddy at some. I mean, is he saying anything in his ear? Like,
well, that's
hey,
well, a new caddy, right? He's got a new caddy.
It's a new caddy.
He's got Cantlay's caddy on the bag now.
That's so bad.
Big names missed the cut. When you think of JT, Spieth,
Hovland.
I mean, those are guys that
Ricky struggled. Ricky made the cut.
Oh, did he? Yeah, but he just struggled. Yeah, he did.
But
Tiger made the cut, you guys.
Yeah.
Tiger made the cut.
24 in a row.
Thought there was hole five-ish of that third round. I thought he was WDing.
Yeah.
He couldn't finish his swing. He could not get through the golf ball. And I told Emily, I said, there's a better than not chance he withdraws.
Yep.
And then the ibuprofen must have kicked in or something.
Icy hot.
Yeah, the icy hot. He turned it around. And
I think he's on more than ibuprofen.
Yes, I would 100% agree with that. But that was just any time that he's playing now, I think that's all we're going to get. We're going to get two entertaining rounds. Oh, God, I hope he finishes. And then, man, I'm really happy he finishes.
I was listening. They were talking about it. Other than Kapalua, it's the hardest walk on tour, right? Yeah. Just the hill, the undulation. And, you know, Saturday was probably, he just ran out of gas.
Agreed. Well, plus the weather, that the wind.
On Friday
and Thursday. I mean, he just got buffeted around and that mental energy. And I think I saw, like, his morning routine, he has to get up at 4:30 in the morning. I
thought it was earlier than that.
Yeah.
3:30 he shared with
Neil Shipley, the amateur,
which, by the way, he went to James Madison,
JMU.
Yeah, they'd go to that tournament in North Carolina that you guys went to all the time. And he's like a year younger than you, so you should look back and see how many you beat him back in that tournament.
I bet you he didn't have a par free back nine.
No, probably not. How about him and his buddy then? Just happened to be paired with him on Sunday. Best friend, buddy.
How much sleep do you think he got? Like,
that's awesome.
You get done with your round on Saturday, and you're just happy to be there. You're the low amateur. You're like, okay, one more round at Augusta National. Feels good. And you get the text, bloop, bloop. Your tee time is 10:30 a.m. with T. Woods.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty special.
As an amateur, then you got to go to your caddy buddy and be like, hey, guess who we're playing with.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I thought it was funny. I don't remember what hole they were on, but his Tiger's caddy was in the bunker raking. So Tiger tossed the ball to Shipley's caddy to clean it on the green. And you could just see the look of, oh, God. And the announcer even said, how about the pressure there? Make sure I got Tiger Woods' ball perfectly clean.
I didn't see that. That would be good.
Yeah. Hey, what did you guys think? They didn't show Tiger much on Sunday. Granted, he was out early.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Appropriate.
He was in a featured group.
I watched like that.
Before the broadcast started, he was a featured group. I think that's 100% appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saturday, they showed him a lot. In the broadcast, they showed him a lot. And he was really, really shy. He shot 82. So I think it was probably appropriate on Sunday. I just want to see the most golf possible. And if it's good shots, it's good shots.
Well, there's players that they never showed once on Sunday. Yeah. I never saw Patrick Reed. Never saw Cam. Maybe one shot of Cam Smith.
I saw multiple of Cam Smith. A couple bunker shots. Well,
Fitzpatrick. You never saw Fitzpatrick.
Fitz, I didn't hardly see Fitz.
Yeah.
Ever. But
that's why you got to get the Masters app.
I had the Masters app.
How great of an app is that, by the way?
It's
the best app in sports.
It's ridiculous.
How do you?
It's great.
I just don't understand how we get the best app in sports for one week of the year. And now we got to go back to PGA Tour app to follow along. And doesn't even update on time. But you get to watch every single shot on that app.
It's okay. Another topic. Vern Lundquist.
Yeah.
Wow. What a finish to his career.
40 years, right?
40.
Yeah. That's impressive.
He's seen some great stuff. He's called a lot of great moments. Jack in 86, Tiger in 06. I mean, he's got all of them.
All
of them. 05. Tiger went in 05.
Yeah.
And it was 05. I was 6 years old, so it would have been 05. But that was my first Masters memory is Tiger's chip in on the back of 16 with Vern on the call.
Mm-hmm.
In your life.
Yeah.
You know what else he was good at, and he's talked about this in interviews, is sometimes you got to just let it breathe, too. Best thing you can do is not say anything,
right?
Yep. You know?
Yeah. No, he is one of the best calls, best voices, and to your point, Mario, he just knows to let the arena speak for itself and let it.
Agreed.
And he did that Sunday, I thought. He was appropriately, he didn't talk about the situation.
He didn't make it about himself.
No.
And he was very much, I think his final words now are, over to 17. Hmm. I think that was it.
Yeah.
Okay. And now over to 17. And that was it.
Yeah. That was pretty touching.
Very professional. That's that'll be a voice that you miss. I don't know who's...
I agree.
Who would be do you ever see a Kevin Kisner announcing at Augusta National? If he gets he's not a CBS. Rough. He's an NBC guy. But
yeah. But they used to have... who's the guy with the curly mustache that's now on Live announcing?
Oh, Faraday.
Faraday. No, not Faraday.
McCord?
McCord. Gary McCord.
Yep. Oh, Gary McCord.
Gary McCord was an announcer at Augusta for CBS.
Mm.
And somebody hit it over the green on 17. He goes, ooh, that's where they keep the body bags.
Yeah. He wasn't invited back, right?
He was disinvited. Yep.
Oh, no.
Yep. Yeah. I remember hearing that.
Gone. And then, he also used... This green's so fast, they used bikini wax on it. Something like that. Those two comments got him out
the
door. They
asked him not to come back.
Yeah, you're done.
You are not invited. Disinvited.
The other thing... Oh, go ahead, Chuck.
I saw this on X. Memorable moments. And I'm like, what? This really happened? It was 1994. A gentleman showed up. He had a practice round ticket.
2007.
Oh, it was then?
Yeah, we were just talking about it.
We were just looking at
what? He showed up with his clubs. An older gentleman.
On Thursday.
He had a practice round ticket.
Spoke broken
to
English.
To play. Yeah. I'm like, no way. Did this really happen? That is how... Yeah. That, actually, you think about it, you don't know.
He had his little push cart.
Yep.
His pull cart.
Yes.
He entered the lottery and was drawn for a practice
round. Practice round ticket.
And he showed up Thursday.
With his clubs.
I'm here to play. Well,
that's awesome. So
what are they going to do? Say no?
Right. Anyway. Okay.
Sorry. LJ. They are going to say no.
No, I was just, I was going to say with the asking the Masters or being asked not to do something or not asked back. Did you see Jason Day's outfit on Saturday?
Yes.
Yeah. And this the Malbon Golf Championship.
What was that number 313? What was it?
I don't know. It's a style. But Fred Ridley went up to him and asked him to remove the vest. Mm-hmm. He could not wear that vest.
Is that confirmed? Because maybe it just got warm out and he had to take it off.
Yeah, they made him take it
confirmed.
Off.
Confirmed.
Wow. It was ridiculous.
And that
it
just was. But it also goes to show I'll rebuttal that. It was ridiculous, yes. But
cool.
Did you watch Payne Stewart or did you see Payne Stewart or remember him in the 1997 Masters?
Was this NFL plus fours? Was this an NFL deal?
He was when a partner. NCAA Final Four crew neck sweatshirt, Navy crew neck sweatshirt, NCAA Final Four, Navy Masters hat. Looked like he just rolled. He would have been the guy in 2007, just walked right up.
Really? For then, actual yep, Thursday for round Masters. Or Friday round? Or
yeah. NCAA Final Four crew neck sweatshirt.
Nope.
It looks great. I would 100% wear that. It's a great style.
Do you remember, Chuck, didn't you watch Payne Stewart at the 91 U.S. Open?
Yeah.
I went to a practice round, and he did not wear his knickers during his practice round.
Yeah.
And he was putting alone on the putting green, and nobody knew who he was.
That's one of my favorite memories of watching golf, as Dad and I watched him come up hole two at Hazeltine. And there was maybe three people following because he was in just regular khakis or a shorts. That
just
you would,
looked like a guy.
He wasn't in his knickers. Didn't have his hat on. Normal hat. And we're like, I go, Dad, I think that's Payne Stewart. So we ended up following him, and it was memorable. I don't want to get in the ditch here, but he took care of me with an autograph afterwards.
Really?
Yeah.
Signed your forehead?
Well, I had my ticket. That would have been great. But I had my ticket, and Dad goes, let's go behind hole two, the green, and he's going to go to three. Let's get his autograph. So I'm right there, and he walked by. I said, hey, Mr. Stewart, sorry to bug you. Can I get your autograph? He goes, when I'm practicing, I don't sign, but afterwards, I promise I'll sign it for you. I'm like, okay, thanks. Well, we followed him the entire round. And by the time you get to the back nine, crowds have realized Payne Stewart's playing.
Payne Stewart, yeah.
We get to 18 at Hazeltine. You guys have been there. It's full.
Yeah.
Dad and I shim up. We're up by the green. Payne Stewart's up there. He's throwing balls around the green. He's chipping. He's putting. I'm probably three, four deep. Dad did a nice job getting us close. And he gets done, hands the putter to his caddy, and walks over towards margin or a direction. He makes eye contact with me, reaches over everybody.
No way.
He did. He goes, hey, nope, this one right here. And points to me.
What a guy.
I was ill-prepared. I took the ticket off, signed it for me. I have that down in my bar.
Oh, that's but right.
Yeah. It was the first autograph he signed. Wow. He held his word. I'm like, that's unbelievable.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
That's little stuff like that. And Arnold Palmer was really good at that as well. Being for the fans, I think I told you, I forget which tournament it was, but Trevor Immelman told the story, and he was announcing that at the Masters too. And it wasn't this tournament, it was another one, but he told the story where when he played with Arnold Palmer, they walked off the first tee, massive crowds, everybody's cheering, and Trevor Immelman's kind of looking down, not acknowledging the crowd. Arnie comes up to him, put his arm around him, gave him a squeeze, and said, son, do you like this game? Do you like playing this game? And absolutely, Mr. Brown, I love this game. Said, then you put your head up, you look them in the eyes, because without the fans, you wouldn't be here.
Wow.
It's like stuff like that. You don't see that very often now.
No.
You know?
Right.
Stuff like that. That was a pretty cool story. That doesn't really have much to do with the Masters, but to your point of being a good guy and signing autographs, you know?
Yep. Something I'll never forget.
Yep. Making memories. But
how many Masters is Scotty going to win?
Wow.
So he's got two right now.
He's what, 27?
27. What's the record?
Six, Jack.
I could see
four, five.
I was gonna say five.
Yeah,
I could see five.
Could see him winning.
Imagine
a couple more.
Tiger got five.
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah, well, actually, he got moved up. Scotty got moved up to the second peak golfer of all time behind Tiger Woods. Like this run that we're seeing from Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
In all of the history since 1995 when Strokes Gained Data started,
sure.
This is the second best golf ever played.
Okay.
He just moved in front of Vijay Singh.
Yeah.
And, you know, he would have won that other. Well, he would have been in a playoff, but he missed a little 22-inch putt is exactly. What it was. 22 inches. Just careless. Otherwise, he would have been in a playoff.
Yeah.
To have four wins in a row now.
I don't think five is out of the question.
Oh, I don't think so either.
Five Masters?
Yeah.
Wow. If he can stay healthy.
Which, it's just it's a long time. I mean, that's three more years worth of mass.
And Jack always, always said about Tiger, well, wait till he starts having a family, then see what happens.
Right.
And that's true. And, he's got Meredith a kid that's going to be right now. That was,
she was, how was that? But yeah.
How about all the, did you guys see the tweets that it was like, the only thing that can stop Scottie Scheffler right now is Meredith?
Oh, he was like, he's like, if she goes into labor, I'm out of here. I'm leaving.
I heard that.
I can always play another Masters. I can't.
Somebody like sent an email to Augusta National to say, this is Meredith. I am in labor. Trust me, this is Meredith.
There was,
I need Scottie.
There were a bunch of tweets. It was like, because John Rahm, after he put the jacket on, is laughing at something that Scottie says. And all the question on the picture was, what do you think Scottie's saying here? And all the comments were like, I was never going to leave if Meredith was at her.
If
I were her, I'd probably just not say anything.
Just let him play.
Ooh. Let them. Maybe not.
My wife would disagree. Yeah, I don't, for the first kid.
Yeah, you're right.
As a podcast of men, I think we all agree with that. But I think you're in that situation. Yikes. You probably want your husband
the,
there.
The quote that I saw on that picture was Scotty going over to John and said, "You think Liv will offer me $1 billion?"
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So how about John Rahm? What a disappointing showing. Yeah.
Really,
his part.
Really sad.
He looked miserable the whole time.
Wasn't too impressed with the... Yeah. He did a lot of finger pointing. He didn't really own it for his poor play.
It was too windy.
It was too windy. Oh, the course was too difficult. The people were out there were, you know, blah, 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 blah. A lot of finger pointing. Mm. I honestly, I don't think he was prepared. Now there's a ton of talk that Liv is going to go to 72 hole tournaments to get their world ranking points.
Oh.
And I think it would just be flat out funny if they're going to, their whole shtick is like golf, but louder and shorter.
Less golf.
Yeah. And now they... Yeah, well, you're going to play less golf and you're actually going to play more golf.
We've all played golf, and as you're getting tournament sharp, if you're not playing stroke play events where you're grinding it out, it's hard to just turn that on.
How about how many people are at this event compared to a Live event?
Yeah.
You know, you're coming down 18, you're coming down, you know, 12, you're hitting that tee shot on 12, thousands of people when you got hundreds of people around you at a Live event.
Right. So I think this trend will continue. In my opinion, the Liv players will not play. You know, last year they were not that far removed from being on that razor edge of playing in these, you know, 72 hole stroke. Now we're a year later, they're losing. They're getting soft.
For all the talk about Joachim Niemann, he struggled
a
lot. He was supposed to be like the second favorite coming into this.
Yep,
based off strokes gained.
Was DeChambeau, maybe Cam Smith? Who is the low
DeChambeau? Cam Smith made a run. Two. Yeah, so DeChambeau, I think, finished at three, which there is a lot of time.
He was leading it.
So he came out firing, which he always plays well early at Augusta. And then
it's a par 69 for him, right? Or what was
he saying? It's like 67 or something like that. And then proceeded to miss the cut. But there is also like... I don't know. He was doing some crazy stuff. He had brand new 3D printed irons that cost $10,000 that have a little face bulge in them. So
drivers have that roll to the face. He came up. You got to respect a guy that's looking at every. He's peeking under every
rock. He's picking everything up.
He's going, well, why don't we give a little bulge or roll to the face of an iron? And then it kind of self-corrects.
At high swing speeds, it flattens out, right? Is that kind of the thought?
Yeah. So there's a gear effect. Kind of on a fairway wood, when you hit it on the toe, it curves back left, and on the heel, curves back. It's kind of self-correcting. So he took that concept, put it with an iron. Hmm. Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing.
And then decided to play with it at the major.
Yeah.
So that was a crazy thing because they were not on the USGA conforming list until Tuesday before the Masters.
Oh, really?
Something like that.
Wow. Yeah.
Like,
what if he would have won? Would this have been a continued talker?
Like, yeah, I think, I'm sure, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It probably would have been a point of contention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was making, were you up there Friday when I was talking why he can't win at Augusta?
Brandel
Chamblee has a take on, he's like, well, it's a nice first round, but he can't win. Brandel was like adamant.
Called it right away.
And he said, nobody on tour plays more in to out than DeChambeau. So his path comes from the inside to outside.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way he swings, nobody does it more than him. He said at Augusta, the ball's above your feet as a right-handed player a lot. So that gets that ball going right to left. And an inside-out player is also going to exaggerate that lie. He said, so he's going to struggle on uneven lies, ball above his feet. The ball will not come in at the trajectory necessary to hold greens to certain hole locations. I mean, it was a deep dive. It was inside baseball plus. And he said, here's why he played well day one. He drove it exceptionally to flat areas, including a couple times where he missed the fairway, like on 15, he was way in the trees.
Yeah.
It was a flat lie, but and he had a shot. He said, so if he drives it into spots where he's going to have those uneven lies, he's going to struggle with his iron, with his game.
Interesting. I didn't think of that.
But it's true, right?
I mean, it's also funny, though, because isn't a drawer of the golf ball like preferred around Augusta? Don't you want to be a drawer of the golf ball?
Well, that used to be the case.
Not so much anymore.
I think these guys just bomb it so high and far that...
I know the height was a talk. I heard that somebody was saying Scotty was a big favorite, obviously already a favorite, but he hits it higher than anybody on tour. His apex is like 140. with a 7-iron. The other guys are like at 100. And so into some of those pin locations with firm greens, the ability to have that ball come down,
sure,
you're going to hold a lot more greens. So stuff like that where, these guys just hit it so high now. We don't need that around here.
And that's how Jack separated himself at Augusta. He hit it so high. I wouldn't say he was a drawer of the golf ball. A lot of those guys, Jack had to hit 3-wood on 13 to get it around the corner to try and draw it. You're seeing some of that now. A lot of Homa was hitting 3-woods.
He roasted one down there. Almost looked like a hook, like a snap hook kind of thing. Yeah. But how about the fantasy? How did fantasy stuff work out for you guys? I know we were being a fantasy podcast. Any luck? Any big winners?
Nah, DraftKings, I didn't hit anything. And my mic's pathetic.
Yeah, you got it's bad vibes over
but
there.
But cut out, your teams were what?
Pathetic.
It won't let them say the word pathetic.
Let's try that again. Outside of that, we did a Sweet Shots League, LJ. I appreciate you bringing that up. I took second on that one.
I never got the invite, so I'd, I didn't.
I thought you were going to buy in 50% to my team.
Yeah, you got the invite.
Nah, I didn't get the invite.
Per Stoltman, it was too rich for your blood.
Yeah, right. Yeah, maybe now I didn't. Maybe I'm glad I didn't buy into Mark's team.
Well, I was run neck and neck with Chuck for second.
Yep.
And Homa kind of let me down and Rahm. So, I mean, I had a salty team. Rahm, Homa, Shank, I was worried about. And he made the cut. He played really well. Shank
played well.
He's my guy.
He did.
And my other guy, Jason Day, sweater man. Yeah. So I was pretty high on my team, but Homa and Rahm just let me down on Sunday. And you snuck in there.
My guys are steady. Yep. I had a lot of live. I had Cam Smith, Patrick Reed, you may have heard of him. He was steady. They never showed him. He was minus one for the tournament.
Cheater.
Fitzpatrick wasn't live, but he played solid. And then Siwoo Kim, who made it via the cut.
Right on the number.
And I think he went minus one for the weekend.
Yeah, he played well on the weekend. Good for you. Happy for you.
Thank you. Yep. Cash coming my way.
And Nick Hovey ran away with it.
That's what I heard he had Scheffler.
And Morikawa.
That helps. That'll do.
Jeez. But DraftKings was tough. I didn't have a team make money, and I ran about six teams.
It's got to be one of the most played weeks on DraftKings.
Absolutely.
Right?
All majors. They're big bucks.
Any luck, Nick?
I had no luck. I didn't do a draft team or DraftKings team, but I did some prize picks. Actually did on – I only did Saturday, Sunday, and I won some money on Saturday. I did Morikawa less than 72 strokes. And
nice. 72 is a good line.
What was the other one? Oh, it was Cam Young, I think, on 2.5 birdies more.
He
had four.
Oh, geez. Those are great lines.
Yeah.
So that was free. Free money.
Yeah. Free money.
Hmm. So how
about you, LJ?
I had quite a few underdog going. I was quite salty Thursday, Friday. I missed both of my bets by one green in regulation by Mr. Tiger Woods.
Oh, I had him too.
For both of them. He let me down.
Wasn't it like 9.5?
10 greens. Yeah, he had 10 greens.
Yeah.
Ugh. So I was pretty disappointed. I made some money back. I got my money back over the weekend on kind of a throw together bet just to get that back. But I did, because I was excluded from the Sweet Shots ones, I got on the Masters app. They do their own fantasy deal.
I'm familiar.
You pick four guys. You got past champion, American, international, and a wild card.
Yep.
So I did that. I got in there and I ended up out of 485,000 contestants in that one. I was in the top 1%.
Wow.
That's impressive.
What do you get for that? Like that a boy?
They give me a nice little gold trophy that says top 1%. if you win second place and third place, like winning gets like $3,000 worth of Masters memorabilia, then it's like $1,500 and then it's like $800 or something like that. Bunch of Masters stuff. But I had Scottie Scheffler as a past champ. I had Hideki Matsuyama as an international, Xander Schauffele as a U.S., and then my wild card was Ludvig Åberg.
Oh, yes. Solid.
I gut feeling about him. I kind of forgot he was a rookie going into this, but I said, you know what? He is playing so well recently.
He's kind of your guy, too.
He is my guy. I do like him. I think as a PGA, he should win Rookie of the Year for sure.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
I did look. I guess I did win on one of mine, and that was a Scheffler, McIlroy, Reed, T. Woods. I had Woods on a team.
Oh, wow.
Bradley and Shank. I had every player make the cut on that deal. So
That's big around the Masters there.
Yeah.
Big around.
Yep. So that's fun. I guess I should have checked before I just gave up all hope on my team. No, they were competitive teams. I was just, that's the only team I cashed on.
Yep.
Yeah. It's tough.
It's a tough week. It's a tough week. I mean, it's, but at the same time, it's the most predictable week because you got to have course knowledge. I don't know that there were many surprises coming out of this week other than Ludwig.
Yeah. But if you went with some guys like JT Spieth, who's got great course history there, that didn't make the cut, you're done.
Yeah.
Right. Right?
I mean, a lot of people went with Spieth.
Yep.
And Matsuyama was my biggest disappointment. That's who I was all over.
Yeah, me too. Between him and Lowry, and they just had a crap first day.
Yeah.
They played better coming in. Of course, that's they started making birdies. I get notifications on my app. Shane Lowry just made a birdie. It's like, of course, now they're making birdies. Right. They're 20 back. But those are. I'm in the same boat, Chuck. I thought Hideki just, for whatever reason, couldn't get it started.
Nope. And he came in good form.
Yeah. So. Yep. Looking ahead, we got this week, it's RBC, which is now an elevated event. So all these guys go straight from the Masters. They're going right to RBC, which is Harbortown.
That's right.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Love this tournament.
Yep. And this is one we have out on our bays. We do have, so we're going to be running a little contest out on the bays, free to play. You come in and it should be set up, should be live now. But you use the app, you get logged in, you play 18 holes, you get on the leaderboard and see how you stack up against other people that are playing. So this is a great little tournament. I think Tom Dolby and I were talking about how polar opposites Augusta National is versus RBC. You go from, I mean, Augusta, you look at it, pretty wide fairway. One of the fairways there is like 85 yards wide.
Yeah.
What fairway is that? Is that like 15?
No. 15 is super wide, but there's trees, you know, way down there that kind of 15, block you.
Maybe it was 17. It was on the back nine, I thought. Anyway, it was 85 yards wide. Now you go to RBC and it's like as wide as this table. You got to hit through these trees. If you go off the fairway, you're deep
trouble. Well, you can be in the right center of the fairway and be blocked by trees.
That's right. Yeah. Angles.
Pete Dye designed course. Yeah, it's all target golf, right?
I think it's Stuart Sink that plays here very well.
Yes, yeah, he does. You're right.
I think you won it last.
I think two years ago. Yeah,
he does. It's like back to back.
It's like a wild card guy.
Isn't it another jacket event?
Yeah.
Don't they put a jacket on?
Jacket. Oh, yeah.
Plaid jacket.
Mark, you got that one? I don't have a plaid.
You do have a plaid. I
played that course.
You don't have the same color plaid, but you do have a plaid jacket.
Okay. I have played that course, though,
before.
Yep, okay. It's fantastic.
I still got the picture of you posing on, what is it, 17?
18.
With the, 18 with
now,
the layout?
That's the widest fairway on the PGA Tour.
That one is
wide. It is.
So you just can't hit it too far, though, right? Because it cuts off.
Yeah. That's a great golf course. It's a ball striker's deal. Greens are tiny.
Yep.
You know, a guy like, Hoagie's not in the field this week?
It's an elevated event, so he might be.
Let me look. I got it pulled up here.
God, that is just too bad he missed Masters.
I know.
He is in the field.
He is.
Oh, all right, good
for him.
Okay.
Hopefully he can sneak in.
I'm definitely taking him.
Ball striker. He's had a couple weeks to work on it, too.
Yeah, sure.
That'll be good. A lot of big names. Scheffler.
They're all playing.
What's Scheffler's price now that he won the Masters?
13.3.
Howie, what's the next guy?
McIlroy's 11.2. Schauffele 10.8.
I can't believe McIlroy is still that high after the Masters.
Yeah, I know. Mm. Oberg is 10.4.
That's who I would. Oberg is my guy.
The guys that came close.
They're
still fresh.
Still in good form. He's a ball striker. That's the guy you want right there.
JT playing, or is he call it quits and he's fishing somewhere?
How would he get into an elevated?
He is. Oh, yep. Justin Thomas, 8,400. Mm.
Victor Hovland withdrew, though.
He did.
Missed the cut.
Yeah, got something going on.
Yeah, something's not
bad.
There's not.
Day two. That's my guy.
Nick. You better do a deep dive into what's going on with Victor.
He's got a swing change going on.
Yeah, Nick. What is he thinking?
He was hitting it well, and then he's just like, yeah, let's change it.
He said, I thought I heard an interview. He said, this was good as I was going to play with the swing I had.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah,
well, he was a top
tour
five
champion.
Yeah. He was like one under after day one, wasn't he? Or even? And then day two, he threw 10 holes. He was 7 over.
Oh, boy.
Something's a tough golf course.
I saw a video. He was stuck in the trees, tried to punch out, hit the tree directly in front of him, and went farther back in the trees.
That's not fun.
That's something we all can relate to, I think, trying to hit that shot.
So I know one last, before we actually, pivot. Are you guys got any more on the Augusta? Because I was going to ask Coach Johnson about high school golf. This is a big week. Yep. This is a big week for
this
you guys.
This is our
huh?
first. This is our first tournament week. So we record this Tuesday. We had our first tournament Monday at Village Green.
For the listeners, Deacon's golf coach right here. His first season.
First season. So he had. It was a great turnout for trial. We had like 34 kids try out. So it's awesome to see.
That's great.
People are hungry for golf. It's great. We got a great team. It's a great group of guys. They like to have fun and a lot of great golf there. It was a tough day yesterday. Wind was blowing. It was raining. Mm. Village Green played great. Greens are always great out there. I think they come out the best out of spring or out of winter. We took third as a team, which was very good. I think before the season, we set our goal where we wanted to be inside the top five at the EDC. So I think it's
a great start.
I think it's very attainable, and it was a very encouraging start. And even we saw a lot of good, but there's also a lot of room for improvement.
Okay.
So we're going to take off here. We go down to South Dakota for 2 days here in the next couple days. So we got a couple days to work on it, and then we're going down to South Dakota, which they started doing that a couple years ago because the winters around here generally not playing at this point in the year. So.
Yeah. Where who was first and second team wise in
the Red River kind of ran away with it. Ooh. So they were 9 over as a team, I believe, and then Davies was second place. They were 21 or 27 over, and then we were 31 over par.
Okay,
so
Red River 9 over.
That's, yeah, they had two kids that the winner I forget if it was Kunzel. I looked at it this morning. I just forgot, but he was even par was the winning score.
Wow!
And then there was a couple guys that were just a couple over. Zach Scarprude, on our end, senior. He finished with 76, but he bogeyed his last four holes, so he was right there.
It's good golf,
and he was hitting it really, really well. So I'm looking forward to the season.
So you guys beat the defending champion, state champs.
Yeah, Mustangs. Cheyenne was fifth. Yep.
Okay.
And I think Central was fourth.
Good start.
Nope, West Fargo.
Great start.
That was a really good start.
So how does it feel? Did you think about it out there at all? So you're coaching with coaches that, you know, you played against when you were playing at Chandler High School, and then your grandfather coached with these guys. Did they say anything to you? Was it?
There were a couple. The Valley City head coach came up to me and said, you know, he introduced himself again. And he said, coach with when your grandpa was here. And I said, oh, yeah, this is full circle now, isn't it? And then Dan Wolf from Cheyenne, that was his one of his first years, because that's when West Fargo and Cheyenne split. Was my junior year. So his first year was when I was playing, and now he's the guy.
He is, so Dan's done a great job with that program.
It hit me when they have coaches meetings. So we were sitting there. And we're sitting there. It's like, okay, there's probably 3-4 of them that were coaching when I was
playing.
And now I'm getting to sit there and listen to it.
That's pretty cool.
So,
LJ.
Yeah, it was fun. It's a great group of kids, and it's just I apologize to my coaches that I made fun of when I said they look cold when they're sitting on their golf cart watching us.
Yeah.
Because I was shivering.
Yeah.
When you're not walking or when you're not swinging.
Yeah.
You know, screw it. I'm going to wear 5 different layers.
Yeah.
And so keep me warm.
So gone are the days when Dad was coaching us. They would get us started and they'd go play.
We talked about that a little bit, but it's just the rules have changed a little bit. Because like back when I was playing early on, and when you guys were playing, like coaches could not coach. They couldn't. I mean, they got
right.
you. They were just an organizer. They got you.
That's right.
So then they could just go play golf.
They did.
And then rules started to change. Where coaches wanted to help their kids.
Yeah.
And so then it was like, okay, you can talk to them on the tee box. You can talk to them walking down. You can't, you know, tell them which club to hit, but you can talk to them. And then it changed again. So now it's pretty much through the hole. You just can't read putts for them. You can't be on the green.
So you can give guidance off tee. Like, hey, hit a 3-wood here.
Yeah,
versus,
so like the way that I like to do it would have been, you know, being around on the tee boxes and just kind of talk them through the last couple holes if I saw something coming in or whatever, you know. Keep them updated. A lot of it's like, how's so and so doing, or what are we doing? Just kind of making
what clubs are hitting on par threes is helpful sometimes.
How many pancakes you ate that morning? That's what we all used to say at NDSU. How many pancakes you have this morning? 8. Ooh, that's a good breakfast.
Oh, wow.
That's terrible.
So it's Coach Kennedy, if you're listening to this, I do apologize. I realize now how cold you can be just sitting on a golf court watching during the rain. So, but yeah, no, it was a great first experience. It's going to be a great year. Really looking forward to it. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
And conference tournaments coming. We should mention Evan Booth, who practices a lot here at University of Mary. They had a win last week, and he was the medalist.
He was, yeah, a little that's six-hole playoff is what he survived.
So. That was down in South Dakota as well, right?
Yep.
It was.
Yep.
Up Augustana, right, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So congrats to him. I mean, that's...
one of our own.
Yep. Put a notch on the belt right there. That's went to win. That's great. I think they
Those pictures that we have of our players in the academy.
Yeah.
We should do something special for a win, like a gold sweet shots or
we could just put
sticker.
A plaque on there.
Medalist.
And put a little. I like that. I like where your head's at.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Like what are those for? Well, those were for wins.
Wins. Call it collegiate wins.
Yeah. Mm. Cool. Start a new tradition.
That's what we're all about.
Yeah.
All about. Yep. Any parting thoughts, gents?
Well, we had the Sweet Shots Hole in One show.
Ah, yeah, we did. If you didn't catch it, that aired on Sunday night.
Sunday night, yeah.
Right after the Masters primetime.
Yep, I watched it. There's a lot of Johnsons.
Three Johnsons representing.
A lot of Johnsons.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was, I don't want to spoil it, but if you haven't watched it, you got to go watch it because it's a heck of an episode.
It's a good episode.
It's a heck of an episode.
Yeah. Okay.
You haven't seen
it? No, that's past my bedtime.
No, okay, you got to go watch it. I think it's.
Okay.
And then rewatch last year's. I won.
You were ready for the tour after last year.
I was.
You were like
striping it. And you made the putt.
And I made the putt.
I know. It was like, well, I'll work at Sweet Shots for a little bit longer. But now I'm thinking, what do I start? Corn Ferry Tour? Where do I go?
Give me Q School. How do we do this here? How do we do this?
Nick was looking for caddies.
That's funny. He's looking for caddies. Now, after this last showing, he is the caddy.
Let's just say it wasn't as good as the first year's.
I'm just kidding.
That's all right. That's all right.
You know, we were talking Masters earlier. I had one other quick story that came to me. Sevi, you guys...
did he play?
No.
Oh,
no, he's passed away. But one of my favorite Masters stories, you were talking about how tough it is to putt at the Masters.
Yeah.
And they asked him about a four putt he had, and I think it was on the 13th green. And they go, Sevi, can you, it was in the comment, you know, in the player interview room afterwards. Sevi could get hot. He was pretty hot.
Oh, yeah.
And they go, Sevi, can you tell us about your four putt on 13? He goes, I missed the putt. I missed the putt. I make the putt.
That's it.
Next question.
I remember that.
I miss that putt. I miss
that would
putt,
be
I miss
that would be me talking about my putting round, trying to beat Scheffler.
Yeah,
I missed a lot of putts.
So walk us through that par on 13 there.
Yeah. It was a 5 putt.
It was a smooth 5 putt. It's a knee knocker coming back for 5.
Might have been a 3 putt with one in the water.
Yeah, really. Oh, wow.
Oh, that's funny. All right. Well, there's a good one to end on there, gents. What a good show. We're wrapping up Masters. Hopefully everyone had a little bit of luck out there this last week. This next week we're in RBC. So coming out, give yourself a chance here around Harbortown out on our bays and see where you stack up. But in the meantime, we'll be back next week. So thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.